text that we're looking at, as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. What great love that was, and still is, in Christ Jesus. And it's greatly humbling to realize the Bible exhorts all husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. I don't know about you, brethren, but that greatly humbles me. And I feel that I've loved my wife so insufficiently if I compared it to Christ's love for the church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Well, preacher, I can do that. That's why I married her. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Husband, love your wives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you already for the songs we've been able to sing, and Father, how we are so humbled, Father, by your great love which is manifested in Jesus Christ. And Lord, even reading these words tonight, even before we begin, as husbands, we are greatly humbled because you exhort us to love our wives as you, Lord, loved the church and gave yourself for it. How great is that love, Lord, that you show unto your church, and how little do we show our wives the same kind of love. Father, we feel so unworthy. We feel so unable, Father, Lord, to love our wives in such a manner. So we pray that you would teach us tonight. May the Spirit of God move strongly in our hearts as husbands, Lord, that we might know more about this blessed truth. And in doing so, Father, our families would be, Lord, those homes where your word is glorified and where we strive to honor and glorify you, Father. We pray that you would continue to bless us as we seek to study thy word and learn, Father, Lord, the blessed truths concerning our families. May you give us humble hearts, Lord, to receive, and open ears to hear, and an understanding to grasp, Father, Lord, these blessed truths. And then, Lord, give us grace to apply them practically in our daily lives. Father, we are in such great need of Thee in this day and age when the family, Lord God, has lost its importance in the eyes of the world. And we do pray that, God, you restore unto us, Lord, that blessedness of having a Christian home. Speak and guide and direct in our hearts and our lives, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Dear brethren, we have recorded in these words of the Apostle Paul an exhortation of the greatest importance and value, one which should greatly humble our hearts as head over our wives, yet greatly inspire and stimulate us to fervently exercise such authority in love. For although the husband has been placed in the home as head of the wife, such headship is to be exercised in love. yet not with an ordinary love, but a love which emulates or reflects Christ's love for the church. I'm amazed that the Word of God would use the headship of the husband to stimulate love in the family. Because as we all know, the Bible teaches that the woman is the weaker vessel, and by that simply she's more prone to emotions, amongst other things. We know that many times women are more sensitive towards things than men are, even though we try to be the tough guys that we are. Our wives know what great teddy bears we are inside. You would figure that the woman would stimulate the love in the family, but the Word of God says, no, that's the head's responsibility. Let him stimulate love in the family. Husbands, love your wives. It almost appears as though the Lord has to tell us how to love our wives. As though we have absolutely no idea how to do that. And this is contrary to the world, because the world's opinion of love is nothing but lust and anything that inspires the flesh and anything that makes you feel good, just pure emotionalism. Yet the love by which we are to love our wives as Christian husbands is to be far above simple emotions. It's supposed to emulate or reflect Christ's love for the church. This is the most amazing and humbling statement. Yet one may ask, how is such a thing possible? For how could we ever love our wives, or anyone else for that matter, like Christ loved the church? Do you realize how Christ loved the church? And you notice his past tense. How Christ loved, past tense, the church and gave himself for it. So he's talking about a sacrificial love. How could we ever, as mortal men, ever emulate such great love as Christ has for his church? The sacrifice he gave for the church was enormous. It was an infinite sacrifice. It was one that we could never, ever fully emulate or copy. Yet that must be our goal as husbands. That must be our desire. For this love was of all loves most glorious and incomprehensible, proving itself and its power by his giving himself for her. Christ's love was manifested in him giving himself for her. It wasn't simply something kept within the boundaries of words. That's why he says, love the church and gave himself for. He said it was a love that manifested itself in giving his life. There's an old hymn that speaks of such love. It says, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all, and saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness is so great. That's the kind of love we are to reflect or emulate in loving our wives. But who could match or equal such immortal and boundless love? We sing about Christ's love almost every Sunday we enter into this building. We sing about amazing love. How great the sound. We sing often about God's love being unequal to that of any love amongst mortal man. We sing and we praise God for loving us like no human being could ever love us. And yet, when it comes to the family and it comes down to the head of the home, the husband, God says, I expect you, no, I demand of you, I command you to love your wives as I've loved the church and gave myself for it. Why would God put such a high standard on the headship to love our wives? Let me try to answer that by way of Scripture tonight. First of all, that he not abuse such given, God-given responsibility and authority. Why would God expect us or command us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? Well, he's already said that we are the head over the wives. And he says, in order for us to be able to exercise or execute that headship in a way which is glorifying to God and beneficial to our wives, he says, I want you to exercise that authority in love. Husbands, Colossians 3:19, love your wives and be not bitter. That means ruling with rigor as a tyrant against them. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You see, the problem we have as human beings, even as Christians, we have a problem with authority. We don't know how to balance that out. Some men are like tyrants. Their wives feel like they're in a cage. They can't make one step without asking for permission to do so. That's not the kind of love he's talking about. Christ does not love us that way. Christ exerts his authority over us, but the love of Christ constraineth us, Paul says. And according to our text, and we might not get there tonight, but by us loving our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, our wives then willingly submit themselves to that love. It's not forced. It's not simply, well, I've got to do this because the Bible told me to submit. How many times have I heard that from wives? And it just kind of sends shivers up my back. Well, why are you doing what you're doing? Well, you know, I've got to submit to my husband. I mean, whatever he says, I've got to do. It's like, I don't really want to, but that's not submission. I don't know where women get the idea that that's submission. That's not biblical submission. Submission is not simply saying, well, I'll just do what he has to do. He's the head of the home. I have nothing to say. That's not biblical submission. Submission is a willingness, as we'll see when we get to the wives. It's a willingness. It's a heartiness to follow the husband thoroughly, fully. It's not following him with pains and with agony and with despair. Well, you don't understand. I'd follow my husband anywhere. I'm submitting to my husband. My husband, I know, seeking the best for my life, and we'll see that in a few minutes. That's what inspires her submission, is because she's thoroughly convinced of his love. And because she's thoroughly convinced of this love, this sacrificial love, she willingly submits, heartily submits, lovingly submits, joyfully submits. Because she loves submitting to such love. True love is the greatest remedy for destroying pride in man. Pride is full of selfishness and arrogancy. True love counters this evil spirit of pride and arrogancy and allows the husband to rule gently, kindly, and sympathetically, yet with authority. I love how the Holy Spirit of God recorded such blessed truths in the Word of God. Because this is a relationship which the world knows nothing of. In the world, they're constantly out of balance. It can happen in the Christian home as well, but in the world more so. Because they have no idea what the love of Christ is. They can't emulate Christ's love for the church because they don't know the love of Christ. They don't have the love of Christ in their own heart. So how can they reflect that? How can they emulate that? And they can be good, sound families, but they're not biblical, solid, founded families. And they know nothing of this kind of relationship. It's usually out of balance. With this awareness that we should love Christ as love our wives as Christ loved the church, it balances out our authority. Because we're humbled by that exhortation. And so therefore we rule gently, kindly, and sympathetically with authority. We don't want to force our wives into submission. We want them to willingly submit. And I'm telling you, dearly beloved, nobody willingly submits more than to an embrace of love. You know, it was true love which compelled and enchanted. It was the voice of the Lord in Song of Solomon's with the Shulamite woman. It was His voice. It was love's compelling, enchanting voice which moved the heart of this Shulamite woman in the Song of Solomon's to rise and open the locked door of her chamber. Her door was locked. And at first response, she said, "I'm in bed. I can't. I don't want to get up and get dressed." But it was the voice. She said, "It's the voice of my beloved. The voice of my beloved moved my heart, and I got up and unlocked the door." That's submission. And that's love, which urges and incites and stimulates submission. It wasn't a command. Now, he could have broke down the door. It was simply the voice of love, Scripture says. And brother, nothing shall keep our hearts from ruling rigorously and melt the hearts of our wives into willful submission more than this love of which Ephesians 5 speaks about. For some reason, men think they have to usurp authority over their wives, put some kind of a power or some kind of fear upon them that I'm the husband. They have to always prove themselves. You know what? A true ruler and leader of the home doesn't always have to prove his authority. His authority is established by his loving, gently, kindly, sympathetically, yet with authority. He doesn't have to prove his authority. That's why the Lord would balance these two things out. Husbands, you're the head of the wife. That's your responsibility. You're the authority. You're to lead your family. You're to be the head over your wife. You're to exercise authority. But as you're exercising that authority, do that in the same kind of love which Christ had for the church and gave Himself for. Do it with a sacrificial love so that you might be balanced out, that you might not take authority too much. Take it to the head. Amen. And become prideful and arrogant, like a tyrant. So, one reason why the Bible exhorts us to love our wives as Christ loved the church is to balance us out so that we might rule with love and not merely with authority and rigorously. But secondly, because ruling by love is a characteristic of our God, who is a God of love and who delights in mercy, one who lovingly yet sovereignly rules over His creation. It's a characteristic of God, and He's sovereign. Jeremiah 31:3 says this. "The Lord hath appeared unto me of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Listen to that. The Lord, and that's Jehovah. The Lord, Jeremiah 31:3, "hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." So we see, here's a sovereign God who rules over all things, and yet He's a God of love who delights in mercy, who doesn't rule His creation rigorously, but He rules it in love. Didn't our Lord emphasize that when He said that God is good, both to the God is gracious, or good, the goodness of God is revealed unto both the wicked and the saints when He gives us the sunshine and the rain? That's the goodness of God. That's the mercy of God. So God, though He is a sovereign ruler, He rules by love. All hail sovereign love. We sing that song quite often here. Remember the one verse in that one song? Don't remember the title of the song, but it said, sovereign love said, "Stop that man," or "Hail that man," "Embrace that man," something to that extent. Why? Because it was the love of God that embraced our hearts. Yeah, it was the law that convicted us. Yeah, it was our sins being exposed by the law of God. But the last resort, that drawing of God, was by love. The love and mercy of God is what drew our hearts to Christ. So it balances our headship out so that we exercise authority with love. But it's also a characteristic of God. Like Christ, the husband must govern. Listen to me. Like Christ, the husband must govern from the principle of love. That's vitally important to understand, dear brethren. We must govern our homes. We must be the head over our wives from the principle of love, which induces, incites, and draws our wives and our entire family to adhere to His authority and trustfully submit to His leadership and guidance. You want authority in your home, husbands? Exercise that authority in love. That will incite, encourage, and then stimulate your wife to lovingly submit, and your children as well. Love is the key here. That's why our text is saying, husbands, love your wife. Love is the key here. Love is what makes us the heads we need to be in our homes. And love is what's going to make us successful. And then when we do have to rule with a hard hand, like disciplining our children, for example, then we apply the same biblical principle. The Old Testament and the Minor Prophets said, acknowledge the hand that holds the rod. Hebrews 12 said, Lord, the Lord, or God, chastens us because He loves us. And so our children will not question our authority when we have to exercise that in discipline because they're assured of our love. Now, maybe at the moment when we're exercising that authority, they might not feel that love, but I guarantee you, they will when they have time to think about it. We're not going to get into that tonight, but if we're disciplining our children correctly and we're instructing them at the same time and not simply disciplining them and sending them to the room so we have our peace and our quiet and leave them there, and then after an hour say, okay, you can come out now. But taking the time and instructing them why they were disciplined, why they got the punishment, what they need to learn out of it. Beloved, those are things that all need to be applied at the same time, but I guarantee you they will. As a matter of fact, some of you probably bear witness to that. If your children are assured of your love, they might not sense that at the time you're exercising this authority in discipline. But after it's over with, they'll crawl up in your lap and give you sometimes the biggest hug you ever had. I'm telling you, it works. Love is the key here. It's the key. And I say that because I hear wives so often speak about submitting themselves to their husbands as though it was a pain and agony to do so. It shouldn't be that way. Song of Solomon 2 says, His banner, which signifies security and protection, His banner over me is love. If our wives know that we have their best interest at heart, and if our wives are know and are assured that our decisions are based upon love for her, because we want to sacrifice all things for her, brethren, they will willingly submit in every case. I say that because so often when we lack this love, our wives might submit to us, but they're not submitting in a manner and in a spirit which is glorifying to God. There might be a submission there, but that's not our goal as husbands. We want them to biblically submit, lovingly submit, willingly submit, readily submit. Authority without love is tyranny. And love without authority is fatalism. Yet united, brethren, they crown the headship of the husband with honor and fills the hearts of his loved ones with great comfort, assurance, and joy. His banner over me is love. I feel protected. I feel secure. I'm comforted by his love. I'm encouraged by his love. And therefore, his authority is not something that I look at as being something negative, but his authority I welcome. I embrace such authority exercised in such love. Women cringe sometimes when they read the text where it says Sarah called Abraham Lord. Believe me, sisters, she didn't do that out of just a straining, unwilling submissiveness. She called him Lord because she seen him to be as Lord. She recognized him. And I'm not saying you have to call your husband's Lord. I'm just explaining the text. Do you know that love offers our wives more security than a sound job that's bringing in all the income and all the finances we can have and buy us all the little pretties we have? That's not security. You can lose that in a minute. Real security is in love. Why do you think you always hear these expressions, as long as we have each other? That's all that counts. There's more to that than what people think. Now, I'm not saying that and we'll see that in a few minutes, I'm not saying that husbands shouldn't provide for their wives, but I'm simply saying security comes when they are assured of our authority and love. Because they feel and they sense that authority, that headship, which protects them, which offers them security, but at the same time they feel that warm embracing of a loving husband. And beloved, I'm telling you, that melts the hearts of our wives into a submission that glorifies God. And I'm telling you, will benefit our families like nothing else. Our children shall see that. Our children shall be amazed by that. And will be living examples unto our children of what a true marriage is about. Dad won't appear to be a tyrant, ruling rigorously. But he also won't appear to be like some weak individual that can't lead his home. This is to love our wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Who, though God Himself would so lovingly rule, govern, and direct His church, that she would humbly submit herself to His authority. Why do we submit ourselves to Christ? Well, there's an essence of authority there, of course. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, of wisdom. And some things we don't do as Christians because we fear God. Not slavishly, but reverently. But that fear is coupled with love for God, because we know God loves us. We love Him because He first loved us. You see how love responds? The principle is the same. They love us as because we love them. That's how love responds. And I'm telling you, beloved, love gets a whole lot more done and accomplishes a whole lot more than just pure tyranny or authority without love. For though we could never equal such great love, being the finite and frail creatures that we are, we must ever seek to reflect or emulate such divine attributes of love. And this is important as we wind this down. We must, as husbands, though we can never equal the measure of His love for the church, never, we must always seek to reflect or emulate, copy, imitate such divine attributes of His love. That's the purpose here. The attributes of His love. Listen to it. As Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. It points distinctively to a sacrificial love. Loved the church and gave Himself for it. And such reflections, or similitudes, or emulations, or imitations of such attributes of His love are following. I'll give them real quickly. A strong affection for them. Christ has a strong affection for us. It's a strong affection for them. Two, it's a real delight and pleasure in them. It's a real delight and pleasure in them. You know, one of the biggest problems we had in Germany, and I attempted to preach on the family once a year, and even sometimes that's too less. But one of the biggest problems in Germany, and my wife will bear witness to that, her being German herself, is many times in German families, there's no show of affection. You won't see mothers and fathers hugging their children in public. Not very often. I'm not saying it's not done, but it's rare. In fact, I spoke over the last 20-some years in Germany often to Germans and said, why is that so? And they were just raised that way. They don't show a lot of affections in their families. And I'm not saying we should be hanging on our wives in public all the time. But people should tell that we have a real delight and pleasure in our wives. Christ does that. The Scriptures say that. We're accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians says. You're my delight, the apple of my eye. Do we delight and pleasure in our wives? Number three, it's a show of respect and honor for them. Even though our Lord is Lord, He does show us respect and honor. He honors us with His presence, with His love, with His mercy, with His grace. He respects us, even though He's Lord. Do we respect and honor our women, our wives? Number four, it's a continual seeking of their contentment. A continual seeking of their contentment, satisfaction, and pleasure. Now, there's so much in that, I'm going to say it again. It's a continual seeking of their contentment, satisfaction, and pleasure. Brethren, we should be trying to make their lives as comfortable as possible. I've seen so many husbands so engulfed in their own pleasures and their own desires and their own dreams and wishes that what their wife desires and longs for is put to the sideline so that I can fulfill my pleasure. That is not a love. That is selfishness. Now, I'm not saying that we have to go out and buy our wives Porsches. We can't even afford to buy them a bicycle. But we should be doing everything in our power to make their lives pleasant and satisfy them as Christ gave Himself for the church. I won't hit that point now because we'll be hitting that more later, but just a little note here, and I'm going to chase this rabbit real quick and come right back because I don't want to get too far. In all reality, brethren, the home is not ours. It's hers.
Wait a minute, I'm the head of the house.
Yeah, I know. It's her home in all reality. We just sleep there. We're the head of the homes, but it's her home. It's her house. We should make it pleasant for her. She should be satisfied. When people come over, she shouldn't be embarrassed. It's her home. She lives there all day long while we're on the job. She's got to look at it 24 hours a day. We should make it pleasant for her. We should seek to satisfy her. Again, I'm not trying to implement anything here. Even though I have to admit, after preaching this 1 year, a sister came up to me and she said, you know what? We need to preach on the family 4 times a year. And I said, why? She said, because my husband went out and refurnished my whole front room after that message. She said, if you do that 4 times a year, I'll have my house done in 2 years. Brethren, we should make their lives pleasant. Number five, providing all things necessary for them. And I have to hurry. There's 9 of them, so I'll quickly go through them. Providing all things necessary for them. Isn't that what the Lord does? He perfect that which concerneth me. He performeth all things for me. Providing all things necessary for them. 6, a protection from all injuries and abuses. A protection from all injuries and abuses. Isn't that what the Lord does? Doesn't He protect us against injuries and abuses? Number 7. This is a good one. It's a concealing their faults and covering their infirmities. Concealing their faults and covering their infirmities. One of the worst things you can do to make your marriage uncomfortable is embarrass your husband or wife in public. You should never do that. That's a bad habit. And before long, it gets to be a competition. And I again, get chills up my back when I see husbands and wives belittling one another in public. Jokingly even. We shouldn't do that. We should learn to conceal their faults and cover their infirmities. Number 8, endeavoring to promote their spiritual good and welfare. And there's probably more than 9, but I'm just going to use these. Endeavoring to promote their spiritual good and welfare. That should be our main goal, that they might spiritually grow. We're to instruct our wives in the things of God. I'm not the husband. Even as pastor, when I enter into somebody's house, I have boundaries that I can't overstep. It's the husband's home. So I'm not required to go in and teach your wife at your home. You are required to teach your wife. That's why the Bible talks about when women have things to answer, so let them ask at home. Now I know in some situations you have women that have been divorced or their husbands are dead or even unbelieving husbands, and it makes it very, very complicated. But there's still a limit there, a line that needs to be drawn there that we need to respect. And every pastor should respect that. He's the head of the home, not the pastor. And number 9, a love which should equal the love of man as for himself. What did he say there in our text? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Let me ask you a question. Do we fervently seek to fulfill our wives' pleasures as much as we fervently seek to fulfill our own? If we don't, we're out of balance. Amen. These are just a few of the reflections or similitudes or imitations of the attributes of Christ's love that we as husbands should seek to cultivate in our homes, in our own hearts. This is love, dear brethren, which casteth out all fears. The banner over which we as husbands must place firmly over our homes and in the hearts and minds of our loved ones. This is the banner. His banner over me is love. And when we have that, when we've established that, beloved, I'm telling you, brethren, we are going to be able to see our families grow, and we're going to see peace and contentment within the confinements of our homes. And like Psalm says, talks about the palaces in each chamber, how the peace of God dwells in each chamber. Beloved, that's exactly what's going to happen, brethren. When we are heads of our home, ruling with love, gentleness, kindness, yet with authority, then our wives willingly submit. They want to submit. And I'll close with this thought, but you know, women that try to run things, they are the most miserable of all things. God has created men and women to be so. Women are more content when they find themselves under banner, under the security, the protection of a loving husband. They are more content. They're more happy. A woman that's doing the role or leading the family is not happy and content. She's miserable. God has made it to be so. Why do you think he said in Genesis chapter 3 that the woman should submit to the husband and the husband... That wasn't just putting out punishment. He was saying this is the characteristics you're going to have. And husbands, we must so love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. And though we can never equal that love, we should seek to emulate that love. We should seek to reflect the attributes of that love, the way Christ loves His church. And if we do that, brethren, we're going to find wives that are willingly submissive. We're going to find children that are willingly submissive to our authority. We're not going to have to always use or usurp authority physically, because the love is going to be that grace. Remember 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of all graces? That love in our headship and our authority, it's going to make us complete. So, may God give us grace as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. We do that, beloved, and I guarantee you, our marriages might find that spark again. Amen. We might be revived by that first love. You remember that? When that's all you could think about was her. How often do you tell your wife you love her? How often do we show affections for our wives? Do they know that we take pleasure in them? These are things that we need to consider, brethren. That's why God says, love your wives as Christ loved the church, so that we wouldn't rule rigorously, but we would rule gently, kindly, tenderly, in love. Amen. May God grant us loving husbands that know how to lead their home. Amen. And their homes will be more secure. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You again for Thy blessed Word. Very practical truths this evening. And yet, Father, that's exactly what we need in our homes. We need to apply practical truths. Father, we thank You so much for Your blessings upon us. Lord, I thank You for these dear families, and how I do pray for all of us, Lord, that You would help us as husbands, this being Father's Day. Lord, may we learn to be better husbands and fathers. May we learn to emulate this same love Christ has for the church and this sacrificial love that He gave Himself for the church. May we, Lord God, have that same longing and desire, Lord God, to make our wives' lives more pleasant and more safe and secure. Lord, I pray that, God, You would help us. Teach us, we pray, how to love our wives, for alone, Lord, we cannot do this. We need You to guide us and direct us. And Father, continue blessing us as we search through the Scriptures to find out, Lord, what Your Word says concerning the home. Give us strong Christian homes, Father, we pray. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.